Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to the week-ending edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to know what's on your mind and your heart and your spirit today. Whatever the question or the circumstance, if you'd like to talk about it, the phone lines are wide open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, and we invite you to call right now. We know that not everyone can call during the live broadcast, so if there's a question or an issue that you would like us to discuss, we'll call the voicemail system after hours or over the weekend and tell us what's going on. And the same number you hear every day that we announce, it's 844-322-2742. So whatever the issue, whatever the time, call now. 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. What are the things that religion can't do for you? That's the question that we've been asking and answering all week. Our first answer was rest. Religion can't give us rest. The second answer was forgiveness. Religion can't forgive our sins. The third answer was a clean conscience. Religion can't cleanse our consciences. Yesterday we talked about righteousness, the fact that religion, man-made religion, can't make us righteous in the sight of God. And today we're going to talk about the fact that religion cannot give us life. You know, there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of religions out there, and religion has been a part of the human experience since the very beginning of time. We are curious as far as the supernatural. We're curious as far as what lies beyond us, and we come up with all kinds of ways and schemes and rituals and practices to try to figure out how to make a connection to that is beyond us, beyond what we can see. And so you go to any particular place on this planet, you're going to see religion in operation. That's just the way it is. It's a part of the human experience. And in all of those, you're going to find out that whatever religion was made up, whatever religion was invented by those particular people, that it was lacking on all the things that religion was invented in hopes to bring about. So we want life. We want something that is eternal. We want something that is substantive, something that really fills that void inside of us. That's a desire of every human being. Well, religion cannot fill that void. No matter how hard you try, no matter how devoted you are to your particular religion, that religion is going to leave you empty. That's just the way it is. Here's what Paul had to say about it in Galatians chapter 3. He says, is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Now, why do I pick this particular verse? Because, you know, Paul in this verse is talking about the law of Moses. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. But when you look at every other religion out there, it is law-based. Yes. They have some sort of rules and regulations that all the adherents must follow. So that's just the way religion is set up. That's how we make it. That's how we structure it. It's based on law. We work our way up a spiritual ladder. The better that we do, the more we're rewarded in that particular religion. So here Paul says the law then is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, that's the key. If a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. Well, God only gives life to those who are righteous, who have the same amount of righteousness as he does. Well, law isn't going to give us that type of righteousness, so therefore, under any religion, we're going to remain dead. The law cannot make us alive. Only Christ can do that. Only the grace of God can do that. That's why Jesus came into this world and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's why he said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's why he said, I came into this world so that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's the reason Jesus came into this world, so that you might have life. So when you receive the gospel by faith, and that's the story of Christianity, it is a story of a relationship that is entered into by grace through faith in Jesus. When we receive Jesus, when we enter into that relationship, we receive his life. As John said in John 5:24, we cross over from death to life. As Paul said in Ephesians 2 and Colossians 2, that we who were dead in trespasses and sins were made alive together with Christ Jesus. There's no religion that can do that. There's nothing in this world that can bring life to those of us who are dead in sin. Only the gospel, only Jesus Christ can make us alive. So praise be to God that if you're in Christ, you are alive together with him, and you are going to be alive forevermore.
Yes.
Talk about good news. That is what this good news is all about.
That's what it's all about. Bob, thank you for sharing that. And friends, thank you for being with us for this Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you with open lines at 844-322-2742. You can pose your question right now. That's the reason that we open the phone lines, and that's the reason we have a live broadcast, so that you can participate. And we want you to do that. 844-322-2742. If you have a question, some particular issue going on in life, well, this is a good opportunity to speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742. 1 week from today, we're going to be starting the United Bible Conference. And friends, we want you to hear, see, and meet Bob Christopher and me and Andrew Farley, for those of you who haven't done so yet. Bob and Andrew are two of the greatest of God's gifted proponents of his grace in Jesus Christ. And as we've said before, at the end of the year, Basic Gospel will unite with Andrew Farley as he carries the torch of God's grace forward into the new year. So, folks, we want you to be there and see and hear us, and us to meet and see you, and allow the fellowship to continue to build. The final conference under the banner of Basic Gospel is going to be starting, as I said, just 1 week from today. So we hope you'll log on to basicgospel.net/united. Get registered for the conference 1 week from today. Again, basicgospel.net/united. The phone line, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. As a matter of fact, we're going to hear from Robert right now. He had a question yesterday, but this is a follow-up.
Robert in Columbia, Missouri again. Kind of a follow-up question from yesterday. I'm trying to narrow it down to the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us? And then you go down to verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to a different gospel. And what my question was, why the Lord allowed the false apostles? And the Apostle Paul was complexed as to this. Why would the false apostles infiltrate the Galatians? I love you guys. Bye-bye.
Well, Robert, it's a really good question, and like Paul said there in verse 6 of Galatians 1, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are running to a different gospel. So Paul was admonishing the believers there in the province of Galatia. They had received the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul had delivered it in a very clear way. He said in chapter 3, he said, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. So they got the message. They heard exactly what Paul was discussing, what Paul was proclaiming, what Paul was preaching, and they responded, and they received the Spirit by faith. And now some other folks were coming along, and they were saying, no, 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 if you really want to be a Christian, if you really want to be a part of God's family, then you have to have on you the same marks that we do. and those marks were circumcision and following the customs of Moses. So, yeah, this Jesus thing is good, it's fine, but you need to add to it. You need to add circumcision, you need to add following the customs of Moses, and then you'll really be one of us. So they listened because those who brought that message spoke with a matter of authority. They carried with them some credibility because they came from Jerusalem, where Christianity had its beginning. It was birth right there. That's where Christ was crucified. That's where Christ was raised from the dead. That's where this message took root. So those folks came from Jerusalem, so they had a sense of credibility with them. And so these Galatians started listening. And Paul was astonished with the Galatians that they listened and bought into what these others are saying. Now, that's what we ought to be astonished by.
Yeah.
And I think we could say the same thing in our current culture, how so many Christians who hear the good news of Jesus Christ, who respond to that gospel, and then they hear other messages and they just latch on to it like it was the gospel truth, when in essence it's no gospel at all. You see people who are born again following after the prosperity gospel.
Sure.
You see people who are born again who start following after different ways to interpret the Bible. And so we have people saying, hey, I'm a Calvinist. No, I'm an Arminian. No, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a not, I'm something else. All of that has nothing to do with the good news of Jesus Christ, that simple, powerful, life-transforming message of Jesus. So Paul was astonished that those Galatians were actually giving ear to these Judaizers that came on the scene. And not only were they giving ear to them, they were following the messages that they were presenting. That was Paul's astonishment. Now, why did that happen? Why did these false prophets show up? Why did these false messages show up? I think Paul answers that in a verse that you shared, Robert. He says right there in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. So we live in a present evil age. So light has come into this darkness. Life has come into this realm of death. Truth has come into this world that is controlled by lies and deceit. And it has rescued us. Jesus has rescued us and taken us out of the domain of darkness and placed us in God's marvelous light. Well, we're going to live as children of God in this present evil age. That is part of the conflict. And so we're going to encounter people that are going to deliver false messages, yeah, that are going to try to move us away from the good news of Jesus Christ. That's just the present age that we live in. But we know that there's a coming age, an age in which evil is going to be done away with once and for all. It's going to be new heavens. It's going to be new earth. The presence of sin will not be a part of that. It will be nothing but God putting on the immortal, God putting on the imperishable, and us experiencing the fullness of this salvation that we currently have in Christ.
Yeah.
So our astonishment should be with Christians not thinking that they have enough in Jesus. And I think that's the problem. We stray from our simple devotion to Christ Jesus. He's the one that's given us life. Let's stick with that, and let's enjoy the life that we have in Christ. We don't have to add layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of stuff. The life that we have in Christ is sufficient. Let's enjoy it to the full.
Absolutely.
Robert, hope that helps. Thanks for your call.
844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Frida listening to us in Monticello, New York. Hi, Frida. You're on Basic Gospel Radio.
Hi, Frida.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So today I actually have a really quick question about John 14:12, where it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, what exactly is works referring to? Is this referring to works of faith? Because I know sometimes people can look at works and turn it into like a legalistical type of bondage of trying to please God. So I'm just trying to find out, like, what are these works pertaining to?
Well, the works that he's talking about are the works of love that we're going to be walking in as children of God. I mean, you see, the work of Jesus Christ was an act of love, wasn't it? God demonstrated his love for mankind in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John talks about that in his first letter. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us first. Well, Jesus was a vessel, a human vessel, doing the work of God the Father. So he was manifesting that love in a very practical, tangible way. He shed his blood on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have eternal life. Now, God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, they are not going to call us to shed our blood on a cross for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' work on that in that regard was sufficient. We don't need to add to it. We get to participate in his work of sharing that love with others that we encounter, that we come in contact with, either in our neighborhood, either in the places that we work. And so God is going to be using us to share the wonderful life-transforming news of the powerful love that he has brought into this world through Jesus Christ. And what we need to realize here, Frida, is that when Jesus was here on planet Earth, he was housed in a single human body, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And his work was isolated to a little piece of land over in the Middle East that we know of as Israel. Well, once Jesus died and he ascended into heavens, he said, "It is good for you that I am going away, because when I do, I'm going to send my Spirit. My Spirit is going to take up residence in you, and you corporately are going to become the body of Christ." So you and I are now the body of Christ. So as his body, we're located all over the world, aren't we?
Yes.
So he is doing this work of sharing the love of God the Father through a body that is now located in every single corner of this planet. And so we see just this enormous work that's taking place. I mean, can you imagine right now, Frida, there are probably people all over this planet who are going from death to life right now, right as we speak. God's Spirit is regenerating them right now. How is that happening? Because God is using his body to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to connect people to the love of the Father. That's amazing to think, isn't it?
Yes, okay, but I understand what you're saying, but the thing is that in, I forgot the verse already, but that's okay. It says, work, like, I hear you explain about the work in singular, but the passage says works, and these works are done, and it says that you will do greater things. So I'm trying to figure out why is works.
Well, because there's multiple works,
not singular.
Well, there's multiple works that are happening. I mean, it's a work of the Father. There was a work of the Father to raise you to life. There's a work of the Father that is growing you in grace. So that's a work. And then you add the work of the Father to bring somebody else to life. Now you got two works. See what I'm saying? So there's, you see these multiple works that are taking place that are sourced by God the Father and are being carried out by us. I mean, Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's a multiplicity of things. Faith.
Okay, now I get it.
Okay, so faith.
Why are you saying with Paul, the workmanship unto good? So these are works of faith, not works under the law.
Correct. That's exactly right. These are the works of God being carried out through us.
That makes so much sense. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Frida. Great question.
And a related question from Facebook viewer Joe. He would like to know how rest motivates us to work. He says, you will do more than you ever have for Jesus when you do it out of rest. So how does rest motivate us to work?
Well, our relationship with God starts from a place of rest. So we have to go back to the creation story when we see that God created mankind. We were the pinnacle of creation. We were the last to be created. And as soon as God created us and said it is good, he sat down, he rested. Why? Because his work was finished. So we experience God for the first time from that place of rest. And as far as Adam and Eve were concerned, they weren't asking questions like, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? They weren't questioning the love of God. They weren't wondering if punishment was going to come into their lives at any given moment. They were confident that they were loved by God.
Yeah.
And so they just enjoyed that relationship. Well, sin entered in and disrupted that rest. Well, that rest is restored through the finished work of Christ. So he died on the cross. He took away our sins once and for all. When he did, he said, it is finished. And then he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Why did he do that? Because his work was finished. So when we rest in the finished work of Jesus, it means we have all of those troubling questions answered. We know who we are. We know that we're loved by God the Father. And that gives us the joy of just carrying out the task that God has before us, not to earn his approval, but simply from his approval. That's good news.
That's good news. And that's it for another week here at Basic Gospel, everybody. Remember, your help is vital to ensure the message continues to remain on the air. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Andrew Farley's book, God Without Religion. It's our way of saying thanks to you for your support of this ministry and the message. Again, basicgospel.net is the place to go to make that contribution. And over the weekend, if you have Bible questions or personal issues that you'd like to pose to us, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it next week on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number is always 844-322-2742. Also, if you are attending a regular church service on Sunday mornings, join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live every Sunday morning at 9:30 Central. Click either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage, basicgospel.net. That's Sunday Morning Live online only at 9:30 Central this Sunday and every Sunday morning with Bob Christopher. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again next Monday for Basic Gospel and wishing you a blessed and safe weekend in and because of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.